What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 137, and today we're going to be continuing the conversation we started last week with humans being classified as facultative carnivores. So the last week's podcast was called the Caveman Diet, and we're arguing that the caveman diet really is a thing, and then the following episodes we're just going to provide evidence supporting that. And today I really wanted to spend time just defining the terms omnivore and carnivore, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it might seem like I'm splitting hairs throughout this whole podcast, but I'm just trying to provide all the information and all the facts that I have to support our argument. And that's something I think is important, don't you think? Like, it may seem like we're nitpicking, but it's all good info.
Well, I don't think people really understand the difference between, like, the terms herbivore, omnivore, and carnivore to begin with. I think people think that if an animal eats only plants, it's a herbivore. If it only eats meat, then it's a carnivore. And then if it eats both, then it's an omnivore. And it's like, there are some big differences there. Because, like, so if it eats 99% one and 1% of another thing, does that make it an omnivore? Like, where are those differences? Where are those lines?
Yeah, exactly. And I've had this conversation with people in person in the past, and they always argue, oh, we're omnivorous. And I'm like, yes, but no. And then it kind of gets complicated. So that's why I wanted to just do the whole episode on that topic. So the first thing I wanted to do is define, like, what those terms even mean. So these terms, omnivore, carnivore, herbivore, they're used to describe something called our trophic level. And this is basically where we sit on the food chain. And this might not seem like a big deal, but understanding this gives us great insight into our species appropriate diet. Because where you sit on the trophic level dictates what you should be eating. And a lot of this information that I pulled comes from the paper titled The Evolution of the Human Trophic Level During the Pleistocene. And this is by Mikey Bendor. I'll have this paper on the website, so tntwellnessandnutrition.com if you want to read it. But it's a real, real great paper with all the evidence you ever would need to define humans as facultative carnivores. And the gentleman, Mikey Bendor, do you know how to pronounce his last name? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think it's Mickey
Bendor. It's Mickey? Okay, Mickey, yeah. Bendor, and it's M-I-K-I. And this guy, if I ever need any information based off, like, the Ice Age or any sort of research on the evolution of humans, this is one of the guys I always go to, because he's, he's honestly very knowledgeable, right? You like him too, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely very knowledgeable, and his paper, I mean, good luck reading it. Have fun with that. It is, like, his thesis paper?
Oh, it's very long.
Calling it a paper seems like a little off, because it's extremely long. I mean, it's definitely not like a book, but it's like in between, like, what I would consider a book and a paper.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you think I'm splitting hairs right now? This dude split hairs over like 100 different pages, and it is very in depth. But I genuinely appreciate that, because I love it when people are out there and they're providing all the evidence they have to support their arguments, and that's what this guy does. So, I really like this guy, and I recommend checking out the paper, or at least scanning through it, because, again, it'll take you a month to read the whole thing, but it's still really a lot of good information. And so I want to define some terms first. So the term I said earlier, so Pleistocene, and I'm always going to pronounce that wrong, but that is what's often referred to as the Ice Age. And that lasted from about 2.5 million years ago to 11,000 years ago. And that's a period of time where the bulk of human evolution took place. And that's why examining this time frame gives us a ton of information on what makes humans human. And again, I talk about trophic level. So you can think of this as where we stand on the food chain. And there are five levels. Apex predators are at the top, and plants that get food from the sun are at the bottom. And like I said, understanding our species' trophic level really gives us insight on what humans should be eating. And for whatever reason, most researchers, and especially most dietitians, don't look into human trophic level for whatever reason. Like, we're above it. Like, we evolved past the circle of life. And I think you see that today with a lot of the vegetarian and vegan arguments that, like, somehow humans can survive and other animals won't die. But that's just, I mean, it's just really ignorant to the circle of life. And a part of me understands it because it might feel like that today because of advancements in technology and healthcare. But trust me, 100,000 years ago, we had to actively fight to claim the spot of apex predators. And nowadays, like, we hunt elephants, we hunt bears. The only thing that hunts humans is other humans. Like, we are the apex predators of apex predators. I don't care if you're living in San Jose in, like, a $1 million mansion. Even though we are really, really far removed from our ancient history, the fact is, looking into this information should be something dietitians and just anyone talking about diet should look into, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's billions of us for a reason, and that's because we were the best hunters around. Like, that's the only way that we were able to, like, have our population explode like it did, is because we were, just like you said, the apex predators. We were the best of the best.
Yeah, and it might seem, especially, you go down, like, go to San Francisco or go to any sort of major city, you're going to see a bunch of, I mean, not to use, like, the, I guess, derogatory word, soy boy, but that's what I would call them. Just real soft dudes. It seems like, how could these guys survive off killing animals? How can these guys survive off hunting? But trust me, we are. We were the best of the best at killing everything. And it's honestly because we're smarter, not bigger, stronger, faster. But again, that's a conversation for another day. This is where it's going to kind of get a little bit confusing, because if someone were to come to me and say, hey, humans are omnivores, I would honestly agree with them and be like, yeah, we are. Inarguably, humans have always been omnivores, which means we can feed on different trophic levels. And that's true because being an omnivore is a huge advantage. But the term omnivore can be very misleading, because omnivores exist on a wide range of trophic levels and have variable degrees of specialization. So 80% of mammals are omnivores. So it's very common to be omnivorous, again, because it's so advantageous. But most of the omnivores out there, so about 3/4, consume more than 70% of their food from either plants or animals, leaving only a small percentage of mammals to be true omnivore generalists. So it's rare to be a true generalist omnivore, feeding on plants and animals in equal proportions. An example of this would be a raccoon. So a raccoon really is an omnivore generalist. They can, they live in a huge area, so most of North and Central America, and they can basically eat anything, and they'll be fine. But two animals that you wouldn't think of as omnivorous, with most people's kind of vague understanding of the definition, would be chimpanzees and wolves. Both of those creatures are omnivores. Chimps eat mainly fruit, and wolves eat mainly meat, but they can't stray too far from this food source without suffering some consequences. So if a wolf tried to live solely off of fruit like a chimp, it would die, even though it's an omnivore. And the reverse is true for chimps. So yes, we are omnivores, but classifying us as generalists would be wrong. We fall into that 70% category in which an omnivore gets most of their food from animals. And that's why we should be classified as facultative carnivores. And so that's a little confusing, right, Tom? You want to just kind of explain that better if I didn't do the best job?
Yeah, so only 25% of mammals, so a quarter, that's a very small percentage, consume roughly the equal amount of plants and animal sources. So, like, the vast majority of omnivores are either mostly carnivorous or mostly plant-based. And humans fall in that mostly carnivorous category. Same with dogs, same with wolves. And chimps, are like, and a bunch of other things that we would consider herbivores, are in that other range, that lower than 30% animal sources, 70% plants. So it's very, very rare to be in that middle ground.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what everyone assumes omnivore means. And that's simply wrong. That's not true. So
I think that's just goes back to the whole argument, you know, everything in moderation. It's up to calories. It doesn't really matter. All things are equal. You just have to keep everything balanced. You know, like, I think it's that whole narrative.
You know, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, because even the most recent kind of like my plate food pyramid scheme doesn't even really specify protein source. It just has like a little triangle for protein.
Yeah, I just think it's just trying to be as vague as possible and not really be specific on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just that you're not wrong.
I guess, yeah. And what I'm arguing here is that we should be specific because the specifics do 100% matter. So this means that, yes, humans are omnivorous and can eat things besides meat, but we can only thrive when meat makes up a big portion of our overall diet. A facultative carnivore does best on a carnivorous diet, but can survive but not thrive on a non-carnivorous one. It prefers to not do this, but when pushed, it will. An omnivore really doesn't care much either way. It eats what's available, so either vegetables or meat. There may be a personal preference, but on the whole, the animal isn't stressed by eating either one way or the other. And the key word there is being stressed. For humans, relying on plants for nutrition does put stress on our body. That's undeniable. And it's a part of nutrition that, again, most dietitians never talk about. It's a part of nutrition that literally just gets over the head of most people. And eating predominantly plants does stress our body to do things it's just not good at. Like, it has to elongate ALA, which is the plant hormone omega-3 fats, into EPA or DHA, which is the bioavailable omega-3s that humans actually need. It has to convert beta-carotene into retinol. So beta-carotene is a plant form of vitamin A. Our body has no use for that, so it has to make it into retinol. And then again, our body has to ferment fiber into energy. We don't do that. Like, humans simply do not do these things well at all. But we can do them in a pinch, 100%. But to ask our bodies to perform these tasks day in and day out for a lifetime isn't optimal. So yes, humans are omnivores, but relying on plants is inefficient. And classifying us as omnivore generalists is wrong. We are not special. We fall into the same omnivore group as most mammals. So we only thrive when the bulk of our nutrition comes from animals. Therefore, classifying us as facultative carnivores is more accurate. And again, it may seem like I'm splitting hairs, but I think that just having that term carnivore in a conversation about humans would greatly change the narrative on what humans should be eating.
Yeah, and carnivore doesn't mean 100% meat. It just means that they need meat in order to survive. And that's what we do. We need meat in order to survive and to thrive. I mean, you argue that we need most of our diet to come from meat, and I think most of the evidence will support that, especially in the future podcast, because we're going to be looking at how our body is designed to consume meat a lot better versus like plant-based foods because of our anatomy, our pH of our stomach, the enzymes, the gut microbiome, all those type of things. They're specialized to be dealing with meat and not plants.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to continue this series, and I wanted to break it up into more just multiple smaller episodes so it's more digestible, because we've talked about this stuff all a million times, but it's kind of been spread out over multiple podcasts in various forms. So I wanted to do just a whole series on it. So in the next few episodes, we will break down more detail why humans should be classified as facultative carnivores, why the caveman diet is 100% a real thing. And so that's what we'll do in the next few episodes. But thank you for listening. You can find everything on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.